Thank you, and you may be seated. And we thank you all for being here this morning, and what a wonderful opportunity it is for us to gather here this morning in the house of our Lord Jesus Christ and to honor him and to pay tribute to the life that he lived. And we're so thankful and grateful for all of you that may be visiting with us. It is good to be back from St. Augustine in the gospel meeting there. We had a great meeting. One responded to the invitation of our Lord, and the house was almost filled every night. And so we appreciate so much having had the opportunity to be there. I appreciate Ben and Dwight filling in for me while I was gone. I told Ben I would fill in for him, but I knew nothing about embalming. But Ben did a good job. Dwight did too, and I appreciate Ben teaching the Bible class on Sunday morning for me as well. And I don't know how much you know about St. Augustine. I learned a lot about St. Augustine while I was there. I guess I learned it in Texas history back in the seventh grade, but out of sight, out of mind, you know. But St. Augustine actually was the gateway to the Republic of Texas at one time. There was a university there at one time. The population of that town now is a little over 3,000. But back in its heyday, they had 10,000 people who attended the university. The first university in the state of Texas was in St. Augustine, Texas. The first Boy Scout Club started in St. Augustine, Texas. Believe it or not, the first Church of Christ started in St. Augustine, Texas, in our state. The first Methodist Church, the first Baptist Church, the Catholic Church had its beginning in St. Augustine, Texas, and it's just a nice little town. It was so good to be there with the brethren and to get to know them and love them and appreciate them so much. A lot of history around St. Augustine. You know, you and I are thankful that we live this side of eternity. But I'm even more thankful that we will live on the other side as well. I want to talk to you this morning about God's court of no appeals. You know, we hear a lot today about certain convictions. You've been keeping up with the news over the last week. You know that there was a man who was wrongfully deported, and the appellate court ruled in his behavior that we're going to have to bring him back. I think it was from El Salvador. And then another judge got involved in an appellate court and said that he could be deported. So anyway, there are all kinds of appeals court, you know, and then ultimately sometimes many of the decisions will go to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. You know, we all have a court date, whether you believe it or not. It's not going to be a blind date either, by the way. You and I will stand before the great I Am. And when this clock will finally stops, you and I will be ushered into the throne room of Almighty God. We have a deadline to meet here in this world. And I hope this morning that you're ready for the judgment. I hope that you're prepared for that hour wherein God will judge the hearts and the secrets of all men. He is going to judge us. And if that is true, how much time do you actually have left? Job, in 16th chapter, in verse 22, said, When a few years are past, he said, I shall go the way of all the earth, from whence I shall not return. I'm told that every 2 seconds someone dies around our world. Isn't that amazing? Amazing, isn't it? But we all die. The Bible says in the book of Job, the 14th chapter and verse 1, that man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Have you ever wondered why the Bible actually refers to you and I as God's people as pilgrims? A pilgrim never settles down. They're constantly moving from one place to the other. And do you realize that you and I are pilgrims? We often sing that song, here we are, but straying pilgrims. And we are pilgrims. But how much time do we have left where we are? There are two things that are certain, that everyone dies, according to Hebrews 9:27, and that we will face the judgment of God. In the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, the Bible says, "In the times of ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day wherein he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given us the assurance that he hath raised him from the dead." I want you to notice, he will judge the world. He will. Christ is coming soon. And the question this morning is, are you ready for the judgment of God? Are you ready? Do you know that even in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and verse 5, the Bible says, "The living know that they will die." We don't like to entertain that thought in our mind much, do we? That we're going to experience a physical demise, and that we're going to die, and that our body is going to go back to the dust of the ground from whence it came. The Apostle Paul perhaps echoed these words in a greater way than I when he said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." Job asked another question in Job 14 and verse 10. He said, "Man dieth, and he wasteth away. He gives up the ghost, but where is he?" Where is he? What will happen when you die? Well, the Bible tells us that we will be laid away in a grave, not to be there forever. For Jesus said in John the 5th chapter, verse 28 and 29, that all that are in his grave will hear his voice and will come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So we're all going to be raised, either to go to heaven or to be lost in a devil's hell. But we know that we really don't go to heaven until after the judgment, which erroneously is taught today that many people go to heaven when they die. And that is just not the case, not according to the Bible. And if you go to the heaven of heaven when you die, then you have totally circumvented the resurrection. Why would there be a resurrection? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, so we can be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This corruptible body will put on an incorruptible body that cannot be destroyed. But if you say that a man goes on to the heaven of heaven before the judgment or before the resurrection, then you have taught someone erroneously. There will be a judgment. You know, some people teach today that once a person becomes a Christian, that he never has to face the judgment of God. My friend, not according to the Bible, for the Bible again says in the book of Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed. Now get this, it's appointed to die, but it's also appointed for man to go before the judgment. And then in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says that we will stand before God in judgment to give an account of the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. I like the words that John wrote by inspiration in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and following. He said, "I saw the small and the great and the dead stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire." Now the Bible says that all of us, and I would be happy to study this with you further if you so desire, but I'm telling you the truth to this morning, today, that God is going to judge you. For Ecclesiastes again, Solomon said, "For every secret thing will be brought into judgment." You may think that you hide from God. You may think that you can escape that particular issue coming up in the hour of judgment, but it's just not true. Not if all the secret things are brought before our God. You know, I'm afraid that today more people are more concerned about the here and now than they are the hereafter. If you've been watching the volatile nature of the stock market over the last few days, plummeting almost $3,000 one day and another day, about equal to that. And someone asked a fellow the other day, he actually said, I called my stockbroker this morning and asked him what I should be buying. And he said, canned goods and ammunition. Well, you hope and pray that we have a better resource, and that is our God. He is the one. And you know, we ought to be more concerned about meeting our God than we are the stock market or the things on this earth. I want to talk to you a little bit here about the judgment of God. There is the certainty of it, first of all. Jesus also taught about it in a great way in the book of Matthew 25, 31 through 46. He said, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was sick and in prison and you did not minister unto me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you this way? He said, because you didn't do it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've not done it unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting fire. He's talking about the judgment. He says they'll be gathered from every nation under heaven. The certainty of the judgment is borne out, for it is a day that he has appointed. Paul said the same thing in the book of Acts chapter 17, that he hath appointed a day wherein he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, even Jesus our Lord. As it is appointed unto man once to die. Have you ever stopped to think about your appointment with death? How long do you have on this earth? As I said, people die every 2 seconds. It's easy sometimes for us to think of other people dying and not so much thinking about ourselves. I think about it often. What happens? How much longer do I have? And how much longer do you have? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Matthew 25. Judgment day is already set. Did you know that? It's already set. God appointed it, but the date is unknown to us. For in the book of Matthew 24 and 36, the Bible says, no one knows the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man will come. Not the angels, not even the Son. But who will be judged? When you think about that awesome day, who will be judged? The world. The world will be judged. For it is time for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel? Now, that's a rhetorical question, because the question has been answered over in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9. When he said to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the answer to this question, my friend. Where will we be? We'll be in the presence of God. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly be? Do you know that every person from the day that Adam walked the face of this earth died? Have you ever stopped to read? How many of you have ever read the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles? Anybody in here ever done that? Some of you have done that because you've read the Bible through. But it's amazing when you read those Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles in the Old Testament, that those books primarily are saying someone lived, and I don't know how many times it says, and he died. Someone lived, and he died. And ever since the day of Adam, so every one of us shall give an account of ourselves before God. You know, we often sing the song, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And then someone came along and said, well, you know, you may not be there. I'm telling you, you will be there. For the role that we're talking about is not necessarily the role that says you were a Christian and you've gone to heaven. But the role involves all mankind. For we must all appear, the Bible says, before the judgment bar of God. Well, if we're all going to be judged, what is going to be the basis for your judgment? Wouldn't you like to know that? I'd like to know that. If I was going into a court of law, I'd like to know what the charges are. I'd like to know actually what the basis is for my judgment. And the Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:10 says it's going to be based upon what I have done. What I have done in this life and what you have done and what you've left undone. Now that's what Paul says. And God is going to render to every man according to his deeds. Romans 2 and verse 6. And if that is true, folks, we need to be asking ourselves the question, am I ready to meet God? We're going to give an account, secondly, of our words. Did you realize that? For in the book of Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says that we will give an account for the words that we speak, whether they're good or whether they be bad. For every idle word that man shall speak, Jesus said he will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Think about it. What kind of works and what kind of words do you speak? Do you speak kind words? Do you speak hateful, resentful words? Or do you speak loving words? You know, words are so important, aren't they? It's not so much what you say as how you say it. Sometimes people are so hateful. But Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, that is to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of mankind. For God shall bring every work, notice that, every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And one who has obeyed the gospel will be forgiven. Someone asked me one time, they said, do you think God's going to bring all those bad things in that I have been forgiven of? No, I don't think that. Why would God resurrect something that he forgot, according to Jeremiah 31 and verse 31? He said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember against them no more. So when we go into the throne room of God and we are judged, we will not be judged based upon things that have been forgiven. They are not only forgiven, but they are forgotten. And those who walk in the light and those that have been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus our Lord will still be judged. But we'll not have to give an account of those things of which we have been forgiven. But who will be this judge? Will he be fair? Will he be honest? Will he be sincere? You know, in today's world, people say, you know, when you go into a court of law, it doesn't matter whether you're guilty or not guilty. It's a matter of who you know. Do you know, when you go into the throne room of God, and by the way, that throne room is mentioned 52 times in the New Testament, and it's mentioned 38 times in the book of Revelation alone. When you go into the throne room of God, you know, do you realize what will really matter? Is who you know. And if you know Jesus, things will go well. But if you don't know him, now that's what 2 Thessalonians 1 says, that he's coming to take vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who will be the judge? The Lord will be the judge. He will be the judge of all time. You know, in that famous passage in the book of John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting." Sometimes we forget about the very next verse in verse 17 that says, where Jesus speaks and he says, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world through righteousness." But the time would come when he would judge the world. He will judge the world through Christ. For Paul wrote to a young minister named Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. And he says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." The righteous judge. We have a lot of unrighteous judges today. In America, around the world. But Jesus is the righteous judge. He will judge you. And there's something you need to know about this judgment also. And that is that all decisions are final. There won't be any appellate courts. You know, we have a man's convicted of a crime here. He can appeal that. There has to be a basis for appeal. But you can appeal it all the way to the Supreme Court. I'll never forget a number of years ago when we were on radio instead of television, and they could pick up our station, 98.3, down at Huntsville, Texas. And there was a man there who was on death row for 17 years. He wrote me a letter and told me how much he appreciated hearing the gospel of Christ. But he said, "I've been on death row for 17 years. I've been in one appellate court out of another." And they actually did put him to death, eventually. But for 17 long years. When you stand before God, you will not be making an appeal. All appeals are off, and all decisions are final. For in John 12 and 48, the Bible says, "The same shall judge him in the last days." No appeals. They're all denied, and the decision is final. Cannot be changed. The higher court to which we can appeal is different from the one when we stand before God. And when that time comes, the judge will make no mistake about where we go. For the Bible, and I want you to notice this, in the book of Revelation 20, the Bible says the books are open. What are those books? You ever wondered about that? Now, it's not the book of life, because he goes on to say, "and the book of life." But he says there are a plurality of books. That means there has to be more than one. I suggest to you there is that book of words that we have spoken, as I said a moment ago. For every word is recorded by God. There is that book of deeds done in the body. That's what he says in that 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And then, the book of life. You know, when you become a Christian, when you're baptized into Christ, God adds your name to the Lamb's book of life. But sometimes people think that that name can stay there forever. Not so. If a person chooses to go back out into the world and live an ungodly life away from God, you know what God does? He blots your name out of the Lamb's book of life. That's what Revelation 20 says. Those that it, John's writing to Christians in the book of Revelation. And he goes on to say that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And he refers to those whose names have been blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. The books were open. And the events of that day are awesome. What will really happen? Jesus will return. You know, people always ask that question, what's it really going to be like at the end of the world? Christ is going to burst the clouds of heaven. He will come again, not to set up a kingdom. Did you know that nowhere in the Holy Bible does the Word of God ever say that Christ is coming back to this earth? But it does say that we are going to meet the Lord in the air as God's children, and so shall we be with the Lord. We're going to meet Him in the air. That's what He says. And He is coming, ready or not. For this same Jesus, in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, Luke records about Him. He says, "For this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." He is coming again. And it behooves us to be ready. For Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, He come with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." And John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready." But can you say that? Jesus will return, and those that are alive will be changed. Do you know the Bible says that? The Bible says, even in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the twinkle of an eye, we will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15. It will happen. Read the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and that whole chapter. And Christ is going to descend with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And those that are alive will be caught up together with the sainted dead to meet the Lord in the air. The dead are going to rise. I've had people tell me, "I just wish that when you died, you just kind of died all over. Your spirit died, your body died, and you're just kind of dead all over, and that's the end of it." Well, you can wish it away, folks, because it ain't going to happen like that. Whether you want to be judged or not, you're going to be judged. And whether you want to be resurrected, you're going to be resurrected. It's going to happen. And behooves us to get ready. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming. All that are in their graves will hear His voice and will come forth. God separates us from those who are evil. And there is a great separation that will take place when He comes. The sad will be weeping. Did you know that? The Bible describes hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Luke 13 and verse 28. Listen to Matthew the 13th chapter and verse 42. "And He shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The glad will love the appearing of Christ." You know, if you're living by faith today, you won't fear the fearful face of the judge. And those who love God and love His appearing will not be stunned. Not for those who are prepared to meet their Maker. But there will be a great separation on that day. God will separate evil from good. He will separate the sheep from the goats. For Matthew 25 says, "And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats will be on the left." Think about it. Husbands who never became a Christian, or wives who never became a Christian, will be separated from each other. Parents from their children. Children from their mom and their dad when they never became a child of God. Our government has been so concerned about the children that have been separated from their parents down on the border of the state of Texas. I wonder how concerned they are about the coming judgment of God when many will be separated from their parents and from their children. Friends will be separated from their neighbors. Fellow Christians will be separated because many of them were all Christians in name only. They didn't live like God wanted them to live. What will happen in that hour? The earth and the solar system will all be dissolved. You talk about a Big Bang theory. Everything will be burned up. The judgment will happen. You don't have to fear if you're building your life upon faith. But if you remain fearful, you're not prepared, because Revelation 21:8 says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth of fire and brimstone." But you have every right to look forward to the coming judgment of God if you're prepared to meet your Lord. And the question this morning is, are you ready? If you have believed in Jesus, and you have repented of your sins and confessed Christ, and you have been baptized, and you are living faithful even now unto God, you are ready. Sometimes people are not ready. There's a story told of a preacher friend by the name of O'Malley, who was a preacher of a small church, actually in Grass Valley, California. One evening while he was preparing his sermon for the coming Sunday, the telephone rang. The weather was stormy, and all the electrical lines were down. And a voice on the other end of the telephone said, "Brother O'Malley, I'm calling from the local hospital, and we have a terminally ill patient. He's here, and he's asking, as most men do, to see a minister before he dies. Can you come quickly?" The trip was about 30 miles away, and the going was rough, having to dodge trees and power lines that were down. The nurse met Brother O'Malley at the door and thanked him for coming. "And the person who wants to see you, Brother O'Malley, is an alcoholic. He's here in the hospital. He's still coherent, but he is slipping fast. He became a Christian many years ago, but fell away from God." The minister asked the nurse what the patient's name was. She answered, "The hospital just simply calls him Tom." Brother O'Malley went into Tom's room and said to Tom, "I'm here, can I help you? I was just passing through and thought that I would visit with you before you sleep." And the man said, "Don't give me any of that garbage." He said, "I asked the nurse to call someone to pray over me because I know my time is done and it's my time to go. Would you like to make a confession, Brother O'Malley?" asked Tom. He said, "Absolutely not." They talked for a long time, and occasionally Brother O'Malley would ask Tom if he was ready to make any confession before he died. After some time, Tom told the minister that he had done something horrible in his life that had been with him every day, and he did not feel that God would forgive him. And finally, after some time, Tom agreed to tell the preacher his story. He said, "After 32 years, I've still borne the guilt." He was involved in an automobile accident in which a woman and her two children were killed. And he said, "I was responsible. I was drunk. I've lived with this for all these years, and I don't know how I can go on." And Brother O'Malley looked at him and he said, you know, God can forgive any sin that people commit. He said, the two people that were killed in the accident that night was my mother and my two sisters. And if I can forgive you, I know that God can. Whatever your sin is this morning, whatever sin you bear can be forgiven by a loving and eternal God. Don't wait until it is too late. Then and only then, ask yourself the question, am I ready? Am I ready to meet God? And if you're not prepared to meet your God, then this morning, why would you not come to Him? For tomorrow may be too late. That decision rests with you while we stand and while we sing.